I'll turn this contraption on. If you would, since you've turned to that page of the songbook, if you'd like to follow along, and I feel the same way Jerry does, please follow along. Never take my word. I can make mistakes. I can be wrong. Open up God's word. Follow along. Make sure what I say is from God's word, because it is not wrong. It will never be wrong. It is the true word of God, and that's the one thing that I consider so good and great about the Bible, that it is, and it will always stand. But tonight I want to talk to you about bitterness, and if you want to go ahead and turn to James, the third chapter. Like I was telling Jerry earlier, I have this thing called a floater in my eye. I've had it for a couple of months. The eye doctor says it'll go away, but it ain't yet. But sometimes it might take me a few minutes to turn to a verse or read it, because it does affect my eyesight a little bit. That's James, the third chapter. And tonight I'm going to be talking about a subject that's bitterness. I believe that everyone sometime in our life has had to deal with this, or will have to deal with it, just because how humans are, and we don't always get along, and people might say or do things to offend us, and we might other people. And bitterness is something that is talked about in the Bible. There are several verses. I'm not going to go to everyone that mentions the word bitterness, but I am going to go to a few of them, because it is something sometime in our life we do have to deal with, either on the receiving end or someone being bitter towards us. And I've known in my own life and all that's, you know, sometimes it's Christian people that have this problem. It's not just worldly people. I've known people that go to church, they're sound doctrinally, they're good attendance, their knowledge of the word, they're active, but they have problems with having bitterness towards someone, or someone does towards them, because of whatever may have happened. And a lot of times it's not even that serious what has happened. But so I'd like to talk on that subject a little bit tonight. And in doing so, I looked this up, and the definition of it is anger, disappointment, at being treated unfairly, resentment. That was one of the definitions. One was, it's a spirit that refuses to be reconciled. And I read where one man in commentary, he put it akin to hatred, hard to distinguish between the two. They go hand in hand with each other. And I agree with that. It probably does. If you've got bitterness, there's got to be a little hate there too. You're not really loving as God would want you to be. And it's an attitude of the devil. It don't come from God. It comes from Satan himself. This bitterness does. I think we'll see that tonight through the scriptures. But in James 3, starting in verse 13, I'm going to read 13 through 16, it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. The wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where there envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." These verses right here cause it evil, cause it demonic. It comes from the devil. Nothing godly about it, we can see in these verses. And verse 14 talks about being bitter as envious and self-seeking. And usually that's what it is. And when we have this bitterness, there's always results from it. And they're usually not good. The person who is holding a grudge against someone, bitter towards someone, they're not going to feel good, especially if they see that person or have to talk to them, and they've got this bitterness in their heart. And I even associate it with holding a grudge. And you can't be happy when you see someone that you're holding a grudge against or you're bitter towards. It's going to cause ill feeling for you. If they know you're holding this bitterness, it's going to cause ill feeling for them. It's going to cause it to be an awkward situation. James 3:16 that we read just a minute ago talks about it leading to other evil works. And we know that's true because that's what God's Word says. If we hold this bitterness in us, it can lead to other evil works. I myself think of examples when someone does this. It causes backbiting, gossip, people talking about each other, causing more bitterness, more grief, more anger. And it can lead to these things. It can cause a... If you would, turn to Proverbs 10. Proverbs, the 10th chapter. And verse 12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Sorry. So this bitterness, this hate that we hold, it can stir up strife. And strife covers hatred. I know it uses the word hatred here, not the bitterness, but as we've talked before, they are kin. They're close related. One can cause the other. And we have to realize that bitterness is a sin. It's just not an emotion or a feeling we have. It is sin. God's Word teaches it's sin. If you would, turn back to Hebrews. I know I'm having you flip backwards and forwards, but Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And we'll read verse 15, Hebrews 12:15. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Right here it says, bitterness can cause you to fall short of the glory of God. It once again talks about that it can cause trouble. And many can be affected by it, not just the one. It's not something just affects you. It affects those around you, those you're bitter towards. If you would, turn to James, the first chapter. It's one book over, real close. I'll read verse 19 and 20. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And that's the same as bitterness, wrath. That's what we hold against someone. We have wrath against them when we're bitter towards them. And it does not produce the righteousness of God. If it don't produce that, then it has to be producing the unrighteousness of God. It's not pleasing to God. There's no way that this attitude, these feelings we can have, can be pleasing to God. If you would, pardon me for that interruption, I sort of losing my place. Like I say, I'm having trouble seeing. If you would, turn to Acts, the 8th chapter. Acts chapter 8. I'll be reading verse 23. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Bitterness binds us to sin, to iniquity. Right here it's called a poison. And I think anyone recognizes poison is not good for you. Poison does harm. That's what bitterness is called here in the Scriptures, a poison. And it can, and I can't say I've personally seen it, but I've heard stories of where bitterness going through a church is separated the church, divided it, caused people that were brothers and sisters to be enemies, and that's never good. But we need to recognize it can happen. Like I said, the Bible right here calls it a poison. If you would, turn to Romans, the 3rd chapter. In Romans, the 3rd chapter, in the 9th verse, here Paul's answering a question they've had about sin between the Jews and the Greeks. And verse 9 says, what then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. Now this don't say nothing about bitterness. That's not why I'm reading it. It's just to point out when Paul's talking here, he's talking about sin, that we all have sinned. In the following verses, there's a whole list of different sins. And if we skip down to verse 14 says, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Once again, that bitterness associated with sin. Here it looks like it's even saying that they're causing someone to curse. Cursing and bitterness sort of go hand in hand. Once again, one sin leading to another. And that's what happens a lot of times. When we're looking at this word bitterness from God's Word, there is no doubt that bitterness is not just an attitude, it's a sin. It's not pleasing to God. So the question comes, and what do we do if bitterness comes into our life, if we have to deal with it, if we have a problem with it? We need to know what we have to do to deal with it. If you would, turn to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews 12, I'm going to be reading verse 14. Pursue peace with all people in holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Pursue peace with all people. As I read that, I get there's an action here. Pursue. That's an action. It's something we need to actively do. It's not just going to come to us. It's not just going to happen. It's something we have to work at. There's a work involved here because bitterness won't stop itself. It will grow. It will get worse if the Scripture has implied. So we need to work at it. Something we need to be aware of and be sure to apply ourselves. If you would, turn to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Ephesians 4 and verse 31 says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking put away from you with all malice." It's sort of says what the other verse does, but it has an action here, put away. We have to do a work here. It's not going to do it on itself. We have to, if you want to call it physically, do stuff to make sure this doesn't happen. And if you would, we can read in verse 32, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." And obviously God thought this needed to go with this bitterness, and I think it makes a good point. We have to forgive others. And in here, I don't think it's any accident that it mentions forgive others as God has forgiven you. And if we sit and think, I think of since I was a young man, all the sins I've committed, the things I've did, God forgave me. He expects me to forgive others. So if I'm holding this bitterness, I need to be willing to forgive them. And, you know, I know that takes a strong person sometimes when someone has hurt you personally, hurt your feelings deeply. Last thing I want to do is forgive them. You know, that's not what human nature is sometimes. But God does require it of us. We have to do it if we want God to forgive us. If you would, turn over to Matthew 18. Matthew 18, and I'm going to read the 15th verse. "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, you go and tell him his faults between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother." This is a thing we should do. If we've got a problem with someone, we need to go tell them. Go talk to them about it. I've found sometimes a person don't even know that you have a problem with them. They don't know they have offended you. That's not always the case, but sometimes. And when they find out, they are sorry. And they want to make amends. They want to get along. So, and even if they don't, and the Bible goes further to discuss that, if they don't, we still have an obligation, though, to go to them. To let them know that they've offended us. It's what God requires of us. And it's how we can take care of this bitterness we might be holding against someone. Now, Matthew talks about our brethren. But if you turn back to Romans, the 12th chapter, this here isn't just talking about a brother or a sister in Christ. Romans 12, 18. "If it is possible, as much depends on you, live peaceably with all men." We need to try to live peaceably with everyone, not have bitterness against anyone. And this verse says, as depends on you. once again, we have a responsibility here. Even if we are not the one that did something to offend, or if we're being offended by someone, we have responsibility. As we're able, we're to try to get along and be peaceful with all men. If you would, turn back to James, the third chapter. This is some verses that I started with were in James, the third chapter. And I want to try to figure out how we can deal with bitterness, what we should do. I read James 3:13-16 earlier. I'd like to read the rest of the chapter, verse 17 and 18, because I believe this will help us too. It says, "But the wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." That's our job. That's our responsibility in this. Make peace. Now I know sometimes we can't. Like I said, Matthew deals with that. If a person won't listen, you know, and sometimes they won't. But we do have to try. And I think we'll find if we try to make peace with whoever we're bitter against or bitter against us, we will find peace in our heart over it, because it's what God's Word teaches. We've done what God has asked us to do. And in these verses, what we need to strive to do in our life, not just with bitterness, but almost anything in our life, being pure, peaceable, gentle, full of mercy and good works. It's how you beat bitterness. It's how you are pleasing to God. And that's my lesson tonight. But if anyone here is not a Christian, I would encourage you to do that before this night ends. And the way to do it, just as we do any subject matter, we do what God's Word says. Romans 10:17 says you have to hear God's Word. Romans 11:6 teaches that you have to believe. And in Matthew 10:32, Jesus says that we have to confess Him if we want Him to confess us before the Father. And in Acts 2:38, when they ask what they must do to be saved, we're taught to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. These are the steps we have to take to be saved. And then Revelation teaches we have to be faithful unto death. That's what we do after we take these steps. And if you're one that hasn't been faithful, you have obeyed the gospel, but you've fallen away, you've let sin enter your life. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That's a great avenue God gives us to straighten out our life. He in all His wisdom knew we wouldn't be perfect. And He gave us that avenue, and that's a good thing. So if anyone needs to come here tonight forward, please do so, and we'll do whatever we can to help you.